From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Kessel, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. We have got a great show for you today. We have got musician Branford Marsalis joining us to play our Not My Job game later on. Oh, yes, it's exciting. But first, we have to take a moment to say farewell to Sapar Murat Niyazov, also known as Turkmenbashi the Great, the official crazed Stalinist dictator of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. We loved his decrees that there should be a national holiday celebrating the melon, that news anchors not be allowed to wear makeup, and that the month formerly known as April be renamed for his mother. During his too short career as an authoritarian madman, we admired him and we always asked ourselves, what would Turkmenbashi do? The father of all the Turkmen died of a heart attack on Carl Sember 20th. So if you can see the phone dial through your tears, give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Misty from Santa Monica, California.
Misty from Santa Monica.
Yeah.
So are you an exotic dancer or... I'm sorry, I feel terrible for saying that, even as I said it.
No, it's great. I'm a nursing student. Which could turn into an exotic dancer.
I know.
Right?
I don't know. If your name is Misty, then being a nursing student sounds dirty. It's just...
It does.
Well, Misty, welcome to our show. Now, let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to one of the women behind the Washington Post Liable Source column, Roxanne Roberts.
Hey, Roxanne.
Hey, Misty.
Next, say hello to a writer for the Boston Globe magazine and the author of the new book, Moving the Chains, Tom Brady and the Pursuit of Everything, Mr. Charlie Pierce.
Hey, Charlie.
Hi, Misty.
And lastly, say hello to a humorist and the author of Robert E. Lee, A Life, now out in paperback, Mr. Roy Blunt, Jr.
Hey, Roy.
Hey, Misty. There was that Clint Eastwood movie, quite a mystery for me, in which you were very scary.
Yes.
Is Misty short for anything?
It's not. It's my real name.
Okay. What would Misty be short
Mistifer?
For?
I don't know. Mistreza?
Mysterious?
Yeah.
Well, Misty, you're going to play Who's Carl this time. Carl Kasten will now read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you'll win our prize, Carl Kasten's voice on your home answering machine. Are you ready?
Sure.
All right. Here is your first quote.
We're not winning. We're not losing.
That phrase became huge news this week when it was finally embraced by whom?
Our lovely president.
Yes. Our lovely and talented president, Mr. Bush.
Yes.
So, Iraq is like kissing your sister. Never thought it'd come to that.
Mr. Bush finally said the N-word, that would be not, when asked by the Washington Post if the U.S. is in fact winning in Iraq. And the next day after that, in a press conference, he explained his many prior assertions that, quote, absolutely we're winning, unquote, in Iraq, by saying that what he meant was he had confidence that we will win. So it's like Mel Gibson saying he's all excited because he is being named Man of the Year by the B'nai B'rith. It's, it's an expression of hope. Now, what was interesting, of course, about the president's admission, if that's what it was, is that he didn't actually say it. He was asked, are we winning in Iraq? And he said, well, it was an interesting thing that this general said. We're not winning, we're not losing.
Right, a construction.
It's construction, interesting construction. And then he went on to say, oh, we're doing great, though.
Yeah.
But everybody was like, he said something. It is interesting to me that the entire focus of our political process about this horrible war is whether or not the president will admit that it's not going all that fabulously well. That's become almost the entire focus.
Whether the president has noticed what we've noticed.
Yes. All right, very good, Misty. Here is your next quote.
The person of the year is you. Well, maybe not necessarily you, but you. Not me, I'm sure, but you.
That was Plastic.com trying to explain the person of the year as named by whom?
Time magazine.
Very good. In a stunning move that led to more unfunny, tongue-in-cheek acceptance speeches than have been heard heretofore in human history, Time magazine named you its Person of the Year. What they meant, of course, was that the internet, particularly things like YouTube, have given individuals, rather than media companies or pundits, the power to shape public discourse. Which, of course, is nonsense, because if it is, because if we, the people, really had the power, we never would have picked such a lame idea for the Person of the Year issue.
Frankly, I had a better year in 96. I don't know where the hell they were.
Do you think the president looked at it and said, look, I got it again?
I will send a genuine United States dollar bill to anyone who puts that on his resume, by the way.
Time Magazine.
Anybody looking for a job? Time Magazine's Person of the Year 2000, or whatever year it is.
2006. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, Misty, very good. Here's your last quote.
Anytime anyone gives you free anything, like therapy or rehab, you take it.
Carol, may I say that sash really sets off your eyes.
Thank you.
That was a young woman named Tara Connor expressing her gratitude at not just getting free therapy and rehab, but being allowed to keep her job, which is what?
At Miss USA.
Exactly right. Of course, the nation has been obsessed with Miss Connor since last April when she won the coveted crown. Miss USA, it's sort of like Miss America, but not so highbrow. So everybody was concerned when allegations...
Hey, it's still on prime time.
Yeah, all right. That's true. You have a point. Everybody was concerned when allegations arose of her misbehaving in bars and with various men and with Miss Teen USA. In
fact, whoa, slow down. What's that last
one? Oh, yeah. In fact, everybody was so concerned they spent all week watching footage of her in the swimsuit competition, watching for character flaws. Well, it all ended well. It all ended well for Miss Connor. But if you get to the point where you need Donald Trump to publicly offer you a second chance, you should go back to being an infant and try your life over again.
Well, this, of course, leads us into the newest flap, of
course. Oh, it's fabulous. Tell us about it, Roxanne.
Well, Donald is saying very nasty things about Rosie.
Well, it started with Rosie O'Donnell, of course, saying very nasty things about Donald Trump on The View, and then Donald responded.
Right, and you know, my personal theory is that they met in an underground garage, and they said, okay, now I'm going to say this, and then you're going to say this, and then I'm going to come back with this, and it's working, because what are we talking about?
I'm glad you said that, because I felt so caught in the middle. Didn't know what to say to her, didn't know what to say to him.
Carl, how did Misty do in our quiz?
Misty was perfect, Peter. 3 correct answers. Misty, you win our prize.
Well done.